Well, everybody's coming up. You can tell by the video presentation, there was a lot of stuff that went on. We were exposed to over 7 different ministries, from Victor's church planting in the mountains to the Micah Project. To when we were in La Union Lempira with John Passler and his wife, they've started a home taking care of these kids and giving them an education, much like the Micah Project, to Breaking Chains and House in a Day, to the Micah Project, Pastor Johnny out at Afe in the dump. It was truly an amazing, amazing time. And it's actually the first time. Grace Point has been helping to build churches in Honduras for a long time. And I was talking with Ted earlier. We never saw a roof go on one. And this time, actually right now, in that little building, they're having church because we finished that. And it was lots of bucket after bucket after bucket of cement and brick. We actually built the church with 3 buckets, 2 hammers, and 3 shovels in 4 days. So, I mean, it's pretty intense. What was really amazing, though, there was a shift that happened. Our first day there, much like most teams that go down, they get up in the morning, they eat breakfast, and then they wander up to the construction site. And the Hondurans are already well at work into the day, and they kind of just kind of look at you. And then you break at noon, and you go to lunch, and then you come back, and then you leave at 3. And they're just kind of going, how do these people ever get anything done? And, well, we kind of looked at that. And so the following morning, Tuesday morning, we decided, you know what? We're going to get up with them. We're going to eat with them. We're going to go to work with them. And I pictured you with rocks. And we stayed until they were done. We really walked alongside them. And by doing that, there's a shift that happened. And there was this bond among brothers that came together. And that was the result, the church, to where right now they're having service and they're worshiping the very same God that we're here to do. So this morning we want to allow the team to share with you, and we're going to have the people that had never been. As you can sit and listen to people that have been there time and again, and go. So we want the people that were there for the very first time to share what God did in them and how God used them in an amazing way. So here's Stephen.
All right, my name is Stephen Chase, and I have a couple short stories for you. The first one actually starts before we left. I work at the Nike World Headquarters in Beaverton, and the day before we were leaving, I was helping a lady move her computer, and she asked me if I had any plans for the weekend, and I said, boy, do I ever. And so I started telling her about working up in the mountains, building a church, and the Micah Boys, and all that, and she said, you know, I'm a quality assurance tester for T-shirts, and I am up to my ears in T-shirts. Do you think those boys would like some T-shirts? And I said, yeah, I bet they would. And so she gives me a box. And then she says, can you carry 2 boxes? I was like, okay. Anyway, that wound up being about 75 and almost $4,000 worth of T-shirts. And I packed them all into my carry-on, 35 pounds. And brought them to Honduras. Second story is, as Brian was saying, we tried to be a little more, what's the right word? I don't know, different train of thought. We tried to work alongside them and set a good example, and they had a little bit of animosity toward us to start with. And they had seen a lot of American teams come in and never finish a project and just be kind of turned off by the conditions and the weather and whatnot. And we vowed to work alongside them and see it through. And over the course of the week, one guy in particular, his name is Daniel, and he had given me a lot of dirty looks, you know, the Clint Eastwood 1,000-yard stare the whole time, you know. And over the course of the week, he started to, I think Brian, mostly to thank for that, just kind of working on him, joking around with him, breaking him in, and just becoming, just building a relationship. And on the last day, when we were walking one of the boys home, Daniel was with me, and this is after I'd given him a T-shirt for helping us on the church and everything. he took me aside, and with a translator, he said that this is the nicest, most beautiful T-shirt he's ever had. And this shirt that was just Nike's throwaway scrap. They rejected the design, and they weren't going to make any more of them. They didn't like it. And here's this guy just loving it. And he said that he had never identified with an American team before like he had ours, and there had been many before. And then he, in broken English, he said, "Estevan, my friend."
Hi, I'm Erin. It was also my first time going, and I just want to open up by reading a scripture that I think really embodies kind of the trip as a whole. It's Romans 12, and it starts in verse 9. "Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all." So I can say I have stories for like every part of that scripture, and but I don't have time to share them all, so I'll just kind of go through a little bit of what I learned. And my learning process kind of like, it started as we were getting on the plane. Well, it started way before the trip happened, actually, but getting on the plane from Houston to Tegus, we were just one of the many American groups going down. And but I noticed kind of like a difference between our group and a lot of the other groups. One of the biggest differences I noticed was that our group, we weren't wearing like matching T-shirts or anything, and all the other groups had these T-shirts with their mission statement and all this stuff. And it was, to me, it almost felt like it was their superhero capes. Like, we know what we're gonna do, and we're gonna go do it for God, and which is good. But like, they just had, it felt like they had this prescribed formula for what they were gonna do, and they had their mission in mind. And I really just appreciated how our group, we didn't really know what we were going to do. Like, we knew that God kind of had some plans for us and stuff, but we just didn't, it wasn't concrete, and it was cool to see that our group was really open to letting God just kind of, as we went, write our mission statement on our shirts. And we went with this just blank, "God, what do you have for us?" And we just allowed him to kind of write down what we were going to do as we went. And that was really cool. It was more of it was like an adventure that way. And it really led us to trust God. And Chad went, he did the first devotional up in the mountains, and he just kind of brought the idea up that we need to go into things blind and just take God's hand and let him walk us through and open our eyes to different things as we went, and not think that we already had our eyes open and not think that we had all the answers, because we didn't. We were going to learn just as much as we were going to teach. And I definitely learned a lot on this trip. And I learned about true relationships and like true love between Christians, brothers and sisters. And those kids up there, they really just taught me how to open up and just be real, because they could not mask their poverty, their hurt, their pain. They were wearing clothes that were ripped, and like they had no opportunity to mask that. And here I think that we're really good at putting on a mask of having everything all together. And and those boundaries, they don't allow us to really get into each other's lives and really build strong relationships with deep trust and love. And so I feel like I know those kids more than I know most of the people here that I've grown up with and known my whole life. And so it was really cool just to learn how true relationships really should be. And so I learned that up in the mountains, and we actually decided, we're like, we're going to bring these school kids here as missionaries to the States, because they have so much to teach us that we just don't understand. And so that was really cool. And then going to Tegus, I was really nervous. I was really scared, because I had heard of all just the hurt and the pain and everything that goes on there and the violence, and I just didn't know what to expect, really. And it was that kind of going in blind. I was really scared, not knowing what God had in store for us. And leaving the mountains, where it was just so safe, and so it was just this little community, and it was all full of love and just and peace and stuff, and that was really fun for me. But then having to face this this place where I just felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like the devil had so much of a stronghold there, and I just felt like God, I can't do this. I'm just one person. I can't do it. And my focus was really on me versus the devil rather than God versus the devil. And that just really like tore me down the night before we left for Tegus. And so my brothers and sisters, my group is great. I was a wreck the night before, but they really just like helped me through it and encouraged me. And just told me like, God has the power. You can't do it, but God can. And that was really, it like really tested my faith. I'd never been tested like that before because my life has been pretty easy here. So it was a good growing opportunity for me. And it just showed me, like, there was a lady in the dump that actually Brian Nelson talked to, and she had lived there for 20 plus years, and she still told him, with God, anything is possible. And it just showed me, like, my faith was so little compared to hers. Like, she knew that God was still in the dump with her after 20 years, and I lost sight of the fact that God was going to be with me going into Tegucigalpa, and he was going to go in front of me and behind me and walk beside me. And so just that really opened my eyes to see these people have such great faith, and they have nothing, and I have so much, and I lost sight of that. And so it really, like, refocused me and just helped me to walk with God through that. Wow.
My name is Brian Williams, and my wife and I went on the mission because I really believed that there was some things down there that God wanted me to see. And I forgot what I wanted to say first service, so I'm probably going to have to read it, so bear with me. Let's see. And God wanted me to see these things so that I could know what we could do both here and far away. It's one thing to hear about what happened and to look at the pictures and be moved to support our missions, and that's what I was doing before. But it's a totally different thing to go there and stand on the ground in Honduras and see the desperate lives that these people lived, and to have the wonderful, awesome ability to be able to help them, to be able to do something that maybe they couldn't do themselves, like build that house in a day and complete that church. I've always wondered all my life why some people are so rich or so strong and why some people are so weak and poor. And somewhere along the way, God showed me that the reason why some of us are rich and strong is not just so that we can enjoy our riches that we've been blessed with, but to share it with other people. We get this wonderful privilege to be God's heroes, to go in, to help, and to give out of what we have to help other people. And if you want to increase your faith, I say, like, go to Honduras. Go on the mission. Even if it seems impossible, if it seems like, where am I going to come up with thousands of dollars to go to Honduras? I thought it was impossible, but I was finally able to do what many people told me, and you have to step out in faith and do it. Before it ever happens, you have to act like it's going to happen. God has already given it to you. And so we were raising the money, and just on some off chance, I sent an email to some part of the family I never heard about. And they donated so much money that not only could me and my wife go, but other people could go. And so I was just blown away before I even went down there, that God will provide you with more than you could possibly imagine if you step out in faith to do the thing that God has set you to do.
Good morning, everyone.
The bug finder.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Song Williams, as all of you should know that already. So, anyway, this is my first trip to the Honduras, and there was many different things in my mind when I was there. And my part was on the team of VBS program. That means verse Bible study for. And I play with the children every single day. And they are so precious. I was born during the wartime, and I have took care of lots of children, but these children were so different. And it's very hard to describe in my heart when I was there with them. But I feel I love them very much. And I usually give them candy. So they give me a nickname. They call me Dusita. It means sweet. And I said, what? They give me that name? And I was so surprised, and they all very happy and talk and play with me every day. And it's my heart, when I went to the dump, and I see many people, include children and adults, live in the dump, and include with the cow, is garbage. And then I feel like, oh my goodness, where this beef come from? If I order the beef, I don't think I want to eat it. This cow could be come from the cow eats garbage. No, I don't want it. I feel like, okay, I felt vomited. And they say, no, I don't want to eat beef anymore. No more. And then I look at back the picture, and then I was crying a little bit when we was on the dump site. And I asked God the question, Lord, why we have so many people have to live in a dump like this? Why do you have such a hard time? And the same thing with my husband said, well, you know, probably because God wants us to help them and to share whatever we have. And then I said, wow, this is a good sense to me, because a lot of people, even I'm a Christian or other people Christian, they don't really know what this means to rich and poor. Why the people so poor and God create like people poor and the people so rich and they have so much, much a lot stuff than anybody else from the poor. And the God figured I said, okay, the reason I do this because I want the rich people, you have more stuff you give to the poor and to show them the faith from God, the hope and the love. For everyone, that is how we are. We love each other and help each other. We like to build our treasure in the kingdom of God for eternal life, but not for this world here. The treasure here means nothing, because when we die, we cannot even take our body with us. I cremate myself even I die, okay? And I hope somebody take my ash and sprinkle somewhere, at least it's useful. That's the way I want to be. Thank you. God bless.
Good morning. I'm Christy Shaustein. I just want to thank Grace Point for allowing me to come and join your team that went to Honduras. My home church is in Hermiston, so it's really a life-changing experience. And if you get the chance, I totally recommend going. Honduras, for sure, forever holds part of my heart. In Matthew 22:37-40, Jesus is talking with the religious leaders. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. We often think of a neighbor as someone who lives near to our home, but really our neighbor in this sense is anyone other than ourselves. Jesus is calling us to love others as he first loved us, to love fully and without reservation, to pour out the grace that he has poured into us. I was unsure what loving my neighbor would look like for me on this trip. I prayed that all reservation would be stripped away and that I would be able to fully love the people that God set before me, that his purpose for me on this trip would not be hindered by my limited understanding, and that I would be able to set aside any fears and just say yes. and God was so faithful to answer those prayers. Every day I spent in Honduras was special for multiple reasons, but what I want to share with you this morning is just a few moments from one of my favorite days. In the morning, we met at Micah and then headed down through the market on foot and down under the bridge to spend the morning with the kids and the people living in the streets. Noe was one of the first to greet us. Through Stephen and Megan, I was able to visit with Noe. Noe is 10, and he is a street kid. We had food and water for him, and he agreed to trade me his glue bottle for the food and water I had to offer. I picked him up and held him on my lap as he ate his food, and he sat there just resting and eating for what seemed like a lifetime, but probably amounted to minutes. There I was, sitting on the side of the dirty Tegu streets with an even dirtier little boy sitting on my lap. And even though my heart was breaking into a million pieces for the reality of his daily life, my heart was so full of peace and joy. It was that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It was beautiful and broken all at the same time. Those few moments were such a gift. In the weeks and now months since that have passed, since that day, I have reflected back on those moments many times. I can see myself in Noe, broken, prideful, weak, in need of a savior, in need of so much grace. And just as he was there for Noe that day on the streets through our hands and feet, Jesus is right there reaching out for me, for us. We only need to reach toward him, accept the gift of grace and love that he is offering, and rest. He will never leave us as we are. I've known this truth since I was Noah's age, but that day, in those moments, that truth was tangible. God is truly close to the brokenhearted, and he is asking us to love them fully and without reservation. Whether those brokenhearted are in Honduras or in Oregon, it's a daily choice to reflect Christ's kind of love into the lives of those we come into contact with. So, choose love, because love will always, always win.
Hi, I'm Judy Armstrong. First of all, part of it, I had to even wonder about going on this trip because I am new to Grace Point, too. And so didn't start coming here until January, and it was about that time, January, February, that they started talking about it. We put so many fears into our own minds and our own bodies, and it's like, but I don't know you guys. I don't know anybody on the trip. But God answered it, and he gave me a verse in Psalms that says, don't put off today what you can do. Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And that pretty much cinched it for me. And then the other thing after we came back from the trip, a lot of thinking I had to do was with, and what we fulfilled in here, was answering people's needs. I didn't really know what a mission was all about. It was all like, I've never done BBS. I've never really talked to anybody and stuff. And it was like, what can I do? What am I going to offer here? But God showed me what we could do, and it was fulfilling needs, and it starts out with fulfilling the needs. Every one of the things that we did within that group, within that congregate, was whether it was building the church. It wasn't me by myself, wasn't any of us by ourselves. It was every single one of us put together. We each had a chore that God had put into the plan for us as a mission. So, whether it was, again, us taking rocks and putting them into this wheelbarrow that was almost broken, or two or three people running the wheelbarrows for us so that we could put the foundation onto it, or the buckets of cement that was poured. It was all hard work, and I know every one of us had sore bodies, but nobody gave up. It was, we were able to see it. We were able to see the dedication in that church and know that a need has fulfilled. There's a congregation now there. Same thing for the building of the house in the day. Every one of us went and worked and put together working with that mission to build that house in the day. And it was the very next day, I believe, that a rainstorm came through. So that night, knowing that that family had a roof over their heads because of a need that we that God put in and allowed for us to fulfill for that family. And then finally, you know, we also, there was the wall that we were building for around the new Micah place. You know, we, that Friday, I think we were supposed to actually go see Pastor Johnny earlier in the week, if I remember correctly, but that wasn't God's plan. Because if we had gone earlier in the week, we wouldn't have been able to see go to the dump. God's plan was that everything that we wanted to accomplish, we accomplished that weekend, or that week. That Friday was our last real working day. And there was some discussion of whether we'd go to the dump or whether we'd be able to finish the wall. And we were kind of torn because we wanted to accomplish and get that wall built too. But it was decided, you know, that it's all about building relationships. And so we went and took the time, went to the dump, got to see that part of it, and then went and back to work. While some of the people were doing VBS, others was building the wall. Christy's last brick went and was put on there, and no sooner than her brick was put on there, and it started to rain, and it poured. We were drenched by the time we came back, you know, but it was allowed for us to get to that point. Finally, I guess what I want to leave and what I've learned really from the trip, and it was all through Brian asking questions as we came back, and what does that mean for us now? You know, we're back at work. It's one thing. I'm dedicated to a day. I mean, a whole couple of weeks of where that's all I'm doing, but I'm back at work. I've got work things going on. I've got life in general going on. Some of us has got kids and stuff. How do I spend that time, or how do I continue with fulfilling people's needs? I believe, or what God has talked to me about a lot, is that it doesn't have to be. It can be part of your daily process. It can be part of talking to a stranger. You never know what that stranger and what that piece of what you talk to them about. It may not be you bringing them to God. It may be just that piece that somebody comes along, just like somebody came along and we all work together. Maybe that piece that's bringing that brings that person in. So that's a lot of what this mission had taught me, as well as, you know, I try to every morning, Brandon Heath, I think it is, Scott, give me your eyes, Lord, that I may see. You know, let's think through that as a congregation, as a family of God, and say, what is it today? Open my eyes that I may see, and what is it today that you want me to fulfill for you?
And so that brings us to this point. What does that mean for us? What's that mean for Grace Point right now? Because, see, if all we do is go to Honduras once a year and come back and do nothing, we fail. What does it mean for life groups to get together during the week or after Sunday to discuss a message and then do nothing? We fail. We're called into action. We are the body of Christ. There is so much need here in Portland alone. You realize last year, 223 people committed suicide. Exceeds murder and traffic fatalities. Last year, 70,000 reported cases of child abuse. Foster care is blowing up, and yet they're hungry for people. In Romans, it talks about all of creation is moaning with birth pains. All of creation, because it's broken. But God has used us, the body of Christ, to come together to walk into that with a boldness, with a newness, with what how the song says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Pour in me that I may be poured out. That's our heart. That's our calling. Because if it boils down to no more than 4 hours a month in this building, we miss it. We miss what this is all about. It comes at too great a price. If serving Christ, if your relationship with God isn't costing you something, you might want to see where you're at. You might want to check the wood pile, as we say, because the wood's wet. We need to be dried out. We need to be on fire. I miss that sometimes. We need to light that torch. We need to be able to be willing to stop in a moment and take a moment and talk to a stranger, like she said. I want to share a story. I just heard from a friend of mine, and some of you know my story. When I first moved up here in 2000, I stayed with this gentleman. He had a nice house in Canby, great job and everything. Lost everything. His wife, his job, his car, his family, his daughter, everything. Nothing. The other day, he was walking in a park in Canby and just kind of contemplating life as he's trying to gather some hope. And he comes across the guy, and he starts talking to him, and they talk about the woods, and they talk about the weather, and they talk about the Navy and all this. And the guy's actually a pastor at a Baptist church in Canby. And John walked it at the end of his post, says, you know what? At the end of it, he said, it's never too late. And it is never too late. It's never too late for each and every one in this room to stand up and say, you know what? Here I am, God, use me. But first, make me usable. Put my feet on the ground, on solid ground, and let me walk. And the only way that happens is you got to be in the Word. You got to be willing to surrender that piece of you that you hold on to, that contingency plan. See, we pray to God. We pray to God for all kinds of things, and that's my challenge. Brian nailed it last week when we were talking about prayer, that Hail Mary. It shouldn't be a Hail Mary. We're in a relationship. Make it real. Pray from your heart with birth pains. And then have the courage to walk into whatever he has before you. The team's verse came out of 2 Chronicles, and the king's facing this vast army, and he knows they're going to lose. And yet, he prays to God first, and you'll have to go in and read it. I can only paraphrase it really quick. They're facing this army. He prays. He trusts God, and they show up to battle, and the enemy has already wiped themselves out, and he gives God the glory. So whatever you're facing, whatever dilemma you have in your life, pray to God, trust God, walk into it, and give God the glory. In that, he gets the victory. It's not about us. And this church to come together, not only with this church, with that church over there, with that church down there, the body of Christ as a whole coming together to make the world a better place. That's what it's about. That's what this is about. That's what Brian's talking about this morning. So, Father God, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us this morning just to share a small picture, a small piece of what you did on 17 days in Central America. Father God, may we not forget that. May you open our eyes and our hearts, and may the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us, on this body. May we be moved into action. May we come boldly before you and say, Father God, here we are. We're ready. Send us. Use us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.